It is not unusual in Scripture to find instances in which God calls an individual, or perhaps a group of individuals, to act on His behalf, to be His agent, to be the one who seeks to accomplish what He wills. You recall when Moses was called by God at the burning bush to go back to Egypt and to lead his people from slavery. You might remember how Gideon was called by God to deliver the Israelites from the hand of their enemies, the Midianites. And you might recall how prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah received a call to proclaim what God would have them to tell to others. When an individual was called by God, that individual had a task. Their task was not to provide interpretation of what God was asking them to speak. Their task was not to give a running commentary. Their task was to simply and powerfully declare what God wanted them to say. They weren't to change God's message. They weren't to alter God's message. They weren't to do anything but speak the message that God gave to them. Now, there are a number of places in which we see that very accurately portrayed. One of those is in the instance in which Balaam tried to curse the Israelites. In Numbers chapter 22 and verse 18, Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, they of course had come to Balaam and they said, "We want you to curse the children of Israel and we'll pay you to do that." He said, "Though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or to do more." He understood that as God's spokesman, his task was to simply say what God told him to say. I'd like to suggest to you this morning that you and I are actually under that same obligation. We have the task to continue to spread God's message. But we're not able to accomplish that task by adding to what God has provided to us. And we're not able to accomplish God's message by subtracting from what God has given. If we are to be God's faithful spokesman, if we are to be the individuals who act as God's agents here upon this earth, who seek to do the will of God, it will be our task to simply spread God's message, whether we're seeking to evangelize, whether we're seeking to oppose those things that are wrong, or whether we're seeking to defend the things that are good and the things that are right. We are to be God's faithful spokesman. And so with that in mind, thinking about the task that God has called us to in a world that would seek to attack, to criticize, to destroy New Testament Christianity, I want us to think about how it's possible for us to be that faithful spokesman that God wants. And the way that I want to do that is to look at the call of the prophet Jeremiah. So I want you to open your Bibles with me to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1, because I think there are some very unique things that we find in this brief text that will help us to orient ourselves to the job of being God's faithful spokesman, to be the kind of folks that speak what God would have us to speak and only what God would have us to speak. The first thing that you're going to notice as we look at Jeremiah's call to be a prophet is the plan that God has for him. And so I want you to read with me beginning in verse 4 of this text. The Bible says, "Then the word of the Lord came to me," and this is Jeremiah writing, "saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, ah, Lord God, but I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am a youth, For you shall go to all whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. God had a plan for his spokesman. It's very clear that God was precise in his choice of Jeremiah. He wanted Jeremiah to do his bidding, and he called him for that purpose. And so you see God's proposal in verses 4 and 5 when he says to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." That proposal reveals to us much about the nature of our God. It tells us, for example, that God knows all things. How could he, before he even formed Jeremiah in the womb, know him? Set him apart for a task of being his spokesman, ordain him as a prophet to the nations. How is that possible? Only if we're talking about the God who knows the end from the beginning. When Isaiah talked about God's knowledge, he wrote this in chapter 46 in verse 8. He said, "Remember this, and show yourselves men. Recall to mind, you transgressors. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God, there is none like me." Well, how is God different? He goes on to say, declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand and I shall do all my pleasure." What is it that sets God apart from all other beings? He's able to declare what happens at the very end from the things that are taking place at the very beginning. How is it possible for God to propose to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and I sanctified you, and I ordained you as a prophet to the nations"? Only if we're talking about the God who knows all things. And so this plan that God had for Jeremiah reveals to us something about his nature. He is the God who knows all things. But it also reveals to us something about his sovereignty. He isn't just the God who is aware of the end of things from its beginning, or who's able to discern the things that occurred in ancient times from those that will happen in later times. He is the God who is in control. He created man so that man might seek him, so that man might praise him. Isaiah said in chapter 43 and verse 1, "But now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine." And in verse 21 of that same text, he says, "This people I have formed for myself, and they shall declare my praise." This God who knows the end from the beginning, who knew Jeremiah before he formed him in the womb, created him for a purpose. He had a plan in mind. The same, of course, could be said of you. God created you for a purpose. What is my purpose? What is my plan? And you can look through Scripture and find a variety of statements that help us to orient ourselves to that task. We are to seek the Lord, Paul tells the Athenians in Acts the 17th chapter, in hopes that we might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. We are to exercise our freedom, but to do the will that God has prescribed for us. And so as you look at this passage, you find certain characteristics about Jeremiah. Here's an individual who is divinely developed. The text says, "I formed you in the womb." He's an individual that is divinely discerned. God said to Jeremiah, "I knew you." He is divinely desired. God said, "I have ordained you. I have consecrated you." And he's divinely sent. "I have appointed you as a prophet to the nations." And so you have this plan of God. A plan that reveals to us God's all-knowing nature. A plan that reveals to us God's sovereignty. But it's also a plan that says something to us about the compassion of God. Why would God choose an individual like Jeremiah before he ever formed him in the womb? Why would God set him forth as a prophet to the nations? Why do the nations even need a prophet to come and to proclaim God's plan? It is because when we are away from God, When we sin, we need reconciliation. When Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, he said that God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why does Jeremiah receive a call from God, even in his youth? Because God is all-knowing, because he is sovereign, and because he is compassionate. Now, with that being said, you also see a reaction that Jeremiah has to this plan. You see, God doesn't force his will upon humanity, but allows man the freedom to choose. And Jeremiah expresses that freedom very openly and very clearly. He doesn't feel like he's worthy to do what God is calling him to do. He doesn't feel like he's capable of being God's spokesman. And so in verse 6, he said, "Ah, Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth." In other words, you've got the wrong person. Have you ever felt that way? We talked in the past few weeks about being evangelistic, about sharing the message that Jesus has for the world with those around us, about the burden that we have to take the gospel not just to a foreign country, although that certainly is a burden, but across the street to our neighbor's house, about the task of talking to our loved ones, those that are closest to us, about the message of Jesus who is the Christ. And sometimes we feel very similarly to Jeremiah. God, I'm not qualified. I don't have the talent. I don't have the ability. I don't have the skill set that I need to be able to do what you're asking me to do. That's what Jeremiah is saying in this passage. He's saying, God, I know that you're calling me. There was no doubt about that. There wasn't any dispute about the God who knows all things, the God who is sovereign and the God who is compassionate, who's calling Jeremiah. Clearly, that's the case. But Jeremiah said, you've got the wrong person. I'm a youth. I don't have the ability to do what you would have me to do. It's really interesting when you study Scripture and you look at the various instances in which God calls different individuals, that oftentimes they make excuses about why, God, you've got the wrong person. You remember Moses, don't you? God told Moses, I want you to go back and I want you to speak to Pharaoh. And most likely that was a Pharaoh that Moses probably grew up with. He wasn't unfamiliar with him. That's why he had easy access to him when he went back to Egypt. But instead of Moses saying, yes, I have been prepared for this moment. I was raised in the palace of Egypt so that I could go back and deliver your people, God. I will do what you're calling me to do. I will do what you are placing confidence in me to do. Moses said, I'm a man who is slow of speech. You've got the wrong person, God. I don't have the ability to speak well. And because I can't speak well, surely you can find somebody else who is better suited, who is better qualified to do what you're asking me to do. When God called Gideon, Gideon was actually hiding. The Midianites had pressed down upon the children of Israel, and Gideon did not want any part of that, and he was literally trying to stay out of sight. And the angel says to Gideon, behold, you mighty man of valor. Can you imagine a person who is hiding being called a mighty man of valor? That's what Gideon was. And Gideon, after he probably removed the shock from his face, said, don't you have the wrong person? I'm from the smallest clan. I'm the least in my family. I'm the least impressive individual that you could try to find for this task. When God called the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am undone. God, you don't need me. I'm a sinful individual. I'm not the person that you want for this job. I'm not the person that could be able to accomplish what you're asking me to accomplish. When God calls Jeremiah, he says, Lord, I'm just a youth. When an individual wants to come up with an excuse as to why they won't do what God is asking them to do, the excuses are plentiful. we can find a variety of things that we can use to excuse ourselves from doing what God is calling us to do. But the point of the matter is that none of those excuses will stand up. This is the God who knows the end from the beginning. This is the God who is sovereign. This is the God who is compassionate. And so when he is calling Jeremiah, he is saying to him, you are the man for the job, and there's no excuse that's going to be viable enough to keep me from calling you to do what I have for you. When God assigns a task to us, he knows us better than we know ourselves. He is aware of our strengths, and he's aware of our weaknesses. So watch God's response in verse 7. The text says, but the Lord said to me, do not say, I am a youth. For you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Jeremiah, your excuse won't work. You might think that you have the ability to say to me, I am but a youth, but that's not going to be the case because you're going to go where I send you. You're going to speak to those to whom I want you to speak. You are going to do just exactly what I would have you to do. In other words, Jeremiah, I know your limitations. Doesn't God know our limitations as well? He knows wherein we are strong. He knows wherein we are weak. He knows what we can do. He knows what we cannot do. There's no passage in which I think that is borne out at least as clearly as it is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. That's where Paul says, there is no temptation that has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able to bear, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. There's no temptation that is so great that has been placed upon you that you can't escape. You know what that tells me? It tells me that God doesn't just know us collectively. He knows us individually. Because each man is drawn aside by his own temptations, by his own desires. And so if we have individual temptations, unique temptations, and yet God can say that there's not one that is so great that it will overtake us, but that we can withstand, that we can bear up under the burden, it should thrill our souls to know that God is aware of what we can do. He also wants Jeremiah to know in this passage that the message that Jeremiah is to present is not Jeremiah's own message. When you go out and you try to teach someone else the truth of the gospel, you're not presenting your own message either. You're simply speaking what God would have you to speak. Too frequently, individuals try to come up with their own plan. That's a mistake. Jeremiah wasn't to provide commentary. Jeremiah wasn't to change or subtract from or to add to God's message. Jeremiah was to simply present the message that God provided to him. He was to speak what God asked him to speak. In Deuteronomy 18, verse 18, Moses described the prophet's task. He said, I will raise up from them a prophet like you from among the brethren, and he will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak all that I command him. That's why Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. Jeremiah, you are going to be the one who presents my message, and you are going to do it because this is my plan. And so when we think about how it's possible to be God's spokesman, when we look at this passage from Jeremiah chapter 1, we see, number one, God has a plan. But we also see from this passage that God has a procedure. There is a way that his plan is supposed to be carried out. Now look, if you will, beginning in verse 9. The text continues and it says, "Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, 'Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and pull down, to destroy and throw down, to build and to plant.'" Jeremiah was not to come up with his own words. He was to speak the words that God gave to him. And God is very clear, "I have put my words in your mouth." When you and I go about our task of sharing the good news of Jesus, we don't have to come up with our own words. We can use the words that God has given to us. God's procedure is for His word to be spoken. It is foundational to all that we say and all that we do. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. And it is the Word of God that causes change. And because of that, error cannot be tolerated. And so when he says to Jeremiah in verse 10, "I have set you this day over the kingdoms and over the nations," this is your job, to root out and pull down, to destroy and throw down, to build and to plant. Jeremiah, your task is to remove those things that are not right so that the things that are true can grow and bear fruit. God would have the same, of course, of us. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 for just a moment. Ephesians 5. Paul warns the Ephesian Christians in verse 6. "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light." Rather than listening to empty words, rather than following the words of those who speak things that are not true, our task is to root out those things, to pull them down, and to plant the simple Word of God, knowing that it will produce renewal, knowing that it will produce wonderful results. And so when you look at Jeremiah's call, you find that God has a plan. This is the God who knows all things. This is the God who is in complete control. And this is the God who is compassionate. We see that Jeremiah wanted to excuse himself from what God was asking him to do on the basis of his youth. But God did not allow him that opportunity. God knows us. He knows what we can do. He knows what we cannot do. He knows our strengths. He knows our weaknesses. And He had a procedure for Jeremiah the prophet to follow. It is a procedure that you and I must follow as well. We speak God's truth because His truth is foundational. We speak God's truth because His truth causes change. We speak God's truth because His truth brings renewal. And so we do root out and pull down and destroy and throw down, but we also use the Word of God to build and to plant. And there's one other thing about this passage that I want you to notice. Besides God's plan and God's procedure, there is God's promise. Continue reading Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 11. "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. And the word of the Lord came to me a second time, saying, what do you see? And I said, I see a boiling pot, and it is facing away from the north. And the Lord said to me, out of the north calamity shall break forth on all the inhabitants of the land. For behold, I am calling all the families of the kingdoms of the north, says the Lord, and they shall come, and each one set his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, against all its walls and all around, and against all the cities of Judah. I will utter my judgments against them concerning all their wickedness, because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods and worshiped the works of their own hands. Therefore, prepare yourself and arise. Speak to them all that I have commanded you. Do not be dismayed before their faces, lest I be dismay you before them. For behold, I have made you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar, and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, and against the princes, and against the priests, and against all the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you. For I'm with you, says the Lord, to deliver you. God makes a promise to Jeremiah. Jeremiah, what do you see? Jeremiah said, I see a branch of an almond tree. Now, you have to know certain things about the background to understand what's taking place. The almond was the first plant to blossom after the winter. It reminded individuals of God's faithfulness. What God wanted Jeremiah to know was that the word that he was speaking to him at that moment was faithful. It was going to happen. Just like the almond branch would blossom after the cold winter, so God's word would be true. He would do what he promised. Now, there are some people who do not believe that God will do what he says he will do, but he's telling Jeremiah, indeed, I will. And so he asked him, Jeremiah, what do you see? And Jeremiah said, well, I see a boiling pot from the north, and it's about to pour out. God said, that's correct. There are judgments that are going to come upon my people because they have turned away from me. Jeremiah, your task is to go to the people and tell them. Tell them that judgment is coming. Tell them why judgment is coming. Now, can you imagine Jeremiah's position? Here's an individual who has just been called by God to be his spokesman, who is now being told, you're going to go before the kings, you're going to go before the priests, you're going to tell them that they are going to be conquered, that they are going to be punished. And Jeremiah's thinking to himself, God, that's not a very popular message. That's not the sort of thing that you want to go up to someone and tell them, you are going to be destroyed because you're wicked. But God says, Jeremiah, I'm making you a fortified city. You do not fear. God has a plan for His word to be spoken. God has a procedure that He expects us to follow, that we are to speak His word because His word brings results. And God gives a promise. Are people always going to like the message that has to be spoken? No, they're not. But God will be with his spokesman. Our task is not to change God's message. It's not to remove the things that we think are unpleasant or to embellish the things that we think are dry. It is to simply speak where the Bible speaks and to remain silent where the Bible is silent. We're not called today in the same manner that Jeremiah was called. But we have the same duty to proclaim God's word that Jeremiah was given. You can excuse yourself from that responsibility. And perhaps the excuse that you use will salve your own conscience. But it will not remove what God is asking of his people. Our task today remains to speak to those who are lost, to denounce those things that are found to be in error, and to defend and uphold those things that are good and that are right. May we ever seek to rely upon the promises of our faithful God as we seek to proclaim His will.